I really love doing these discovery Bible studies beforehand, because like my group, I got to learn new things like I didn't even see in the scriptures, and I was like, man, that's so deep. I was like, y'all should just give the message, because I was getting some new revelation from them. It was really cool. How many of y'all, when you do discovery Bible studies, you're reading things in the Word and you're like, oh man, that's like really sticking out to me? Anyone? Is it cool? Did you have something too? Like somebody else shared something and you got like some new revelation or understanding of scripture? Was that anyone else too? Yeah, cool. Sweet. Well, y'all probably caught on. There's a lot about love in there. And everyone heard of like the love languages test at all? We did this back at Enrich. I think earlier this year we did a healthy family series. How many of you know what your love languages are? How many of you know what your significant other's love languages are? How many of you have no idea about any of that stuff? A couple people? Yeah, George. Yeah. Okay, so way back in the day when I did the love languages test, for me it was words of affirmation and quality time. And then since my life has just changed a lot and we're in this crazy church planting season, my new love language, it totally shifted. I never thought this would be it, because this was my lowest one, is acts of service. Yeah. So like if I come home, and y'all, if you have kids, you know this, or had kids when they're younger, like house is usually blown up, dishes aren't done, like everything, right? But I get home and like the dishes are done or house is clean, I'm like, oh my gosh, this like is amazing to me. Or like even afterwards, like people like help clean up this whole thing, I'm like, oh, that like touches my heart. But acts of service never used to be it, but it totally shifted for me in this season. Now, what do you think Jesus's love language is of these five? Or is his love language on these five? If he took the test, do you think it would come up on there? Anyone have an idea what Jesus' love language is?
Acts of service.
All right, we'll get to it. I heard it over here. Jen, say it loud. Obedience is Jesus' love language. Yeah. So if you wanna touch the right button on Jesus' life to say, hey, Jesus, I love you, and he feels loved, it's actually obedience. Isn't that interesting? So obedience. So let's look at verses 9 through 11 here together. It says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you be filled with my joy. And yes, your joy will overflow. So the Father set the example of love to Jesus. Jesus then sets that example of love, and that love then comes down to us. And so what we see is that when we remain in Jesus' love through obedience to him, we remain in his love. Now, that's a catch. That's huge. So if you're walking in disobedience, if you're disobeying God intentionally, which is kind of like the real bad side of it, that's rebellion, or unintentionally, you actually disconnect from Jesus' love, loving him. But when you walk in that obedience in your life with what he says, how to live your life, you are actually saying, Jesus, I love you. And so you think about, what does that actually look like? So when you read the scriptures, that's Jesus' love language, because he shows you how to have a relationship with him. He shows you how to follow him. He shows you how to be obedient to him. And then how many of y'all are beginning to hear God's voice in your life more and more as you grow in him? Yeah, a lot of people are starting to share stories. Like I think everyone here is sharing stories with me about how they're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them throughout the week. And they're beginning to follow the Spirit's guidance. So when you receive guidance from the Holy Spirit, when you're obedient to God's leading in your life directly, that's obedience to Jesus. And you're showing Jesus, I love you. So we remain in Jesus' love through obedience. And this is hard, but this is the reality. Obedience isn't about how we feel. Obedience isn't about how we feel. How many of you feel like you just want to do the Jesus thing all the time, whatever he says to do, right? If there's a hand, I'd be like, tell me your secret, right? Because we got the flesh, we got sin, we got the demonic coming against us, is trying to get us to go in another direction. So we got these things that come against us. So it isn't always about how we feel, it's simply being obedient to Jesus. And as we're obedient to him, heart matters. And we talk about that a lot. Your heart matters, right? So your motive matters, your attitude matters. But I think at the end of the day, if you just are obedient to him and you're like, Jesus, I'm going to be obedient just because I know I love you, I'm showing that I love you, work out my heart in the process, we're moving in the right direction with him. So how do you get true joy? What does the culture say to get true joy? Earn a lot of money, get the promotion, work hard, get the nice house, like all those things the culture sells you, right? But in the kingdom of God, you actually get joy in your life by being obedient to Jesus. Did you notice that has nothing to do with any of your possessions? So one of the biggest lies that mammon gives us, right, the God that represents money, the spirit of money over our nation, says you got to have all these things to be happy and joyful. And I know people who get all the stuff and eventually they find out, well, I'm not happy. And then they say, well, what else is there, right? And then people explore drugs and alcohol and try and find what makes them happy. When they find, man, it's about Jesus and being obedient to him, you actually get joy in your life and joy that overflows. One of the things that I value the most in my life is my time. I don't really have a lot of free time. So when I have free time, I'm like, yes, free time. One of the things in this season that Jesus has invited me into, I do my weekly fast from Thursday night to Friday night, is to give up my Thursday night simply for 2 hours of worship and prayer and just seeking his face. At first I was like, man, that's another night gone. Like, I don't think I have, Sunday night is usually like my only free night. Like, that's it. The whole week we have other stuff lined up through every other evening. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I was obedient to him, and I just worship. I throw in worship music. I take over the living room. If it, Barry's like, are you using your music? Because I like certain music. And she's like, I'm going to go in the other room and do my music. But sometimes we'll join together. And then, man, about an hour and 20 in, his presence just comes, and I just get on my face. Literally, I'm on my face just bowing before him in his presence. And I had this other pastor I was training in DMM, and I was telling him about my schedule. He's like, dude, where do you get joy? And I thought about it, and I said, from his presence. And I'd never made that connection before, but when I get in his presence, I actually have joy. Like, I love his presence, and obedience brings us into his presence. So I've had to give up my life more and more. George said that verse earlier, like, the more you give up your life for Jesus, the more you'll actually find the true life that he's designed for you, that he wants you to have. So look at verses 12 and 13 together. This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love to lay down one's life for one's friends. So notice this pattern. It goes from the Father to Jesus to you to other people. So when you remain in the vine, you remain connected to Jesus, you actually get all of that that flows to others. And so if you try and love others apart from being connected to Jesus and loving Jesus, it's super hard to love certain people. Maybe people in general. But there's people in your life, because I'll go into some stuff soon. There's people in your life that I know are hard to love. I know this because we're humans. And you probably know me, and I'm hard to love sometimes, right? We all mess up. But we'll have to choose. Am I going to choose to love that person, or am I going to choose not to love them? So we produce much fruit when we remain in the vine, and a big part of that fruit is loving people. So how we experience Jesus' love for us is how we're to love others in the same way. How many of you, and this is like a real question, does this transitions you from religion to relationship with Jesus? How many of you have had an encounter with God where you felt God's presence, his love, you felt him in a certain way that it became real for you? You don't have to raise your hands. Like, you can if you want, right? Because I know there's people who haven't. What I found for me is that when I was 16, I had this encounter with God. His presence came on my life. When I hit my knees and surrendered, I surrendered something he wanted me to surrender. His presence came on me, and my relationship became real. It changed. It's when we have his presence, when we experience his love, that's when it becomes a real relationship. Because if you try and love people apart from having God's presence in your life, his love in your heart, it's like driving a car without any oil in your engine. It's going to, you know, crank a bit, and then eventually it's going to snap, and all of it's going to blow up. So it's the love of Jesus in us. It's that encounter with his love that gives us the ability to love people. I'm going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 13 real quick, or you can just listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. So 1 Corinthians 14, 4 through 7. And this is what is love, right? So the world says all these things are love. This is what Jesus, what God says in his word is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. I can tell you, like, in the past week, I failed at all those things, like, legit. Like, love is so deep, and it's such a challenge. It goes against our very nature as humans. It goes against our flesh. Yesterday evening, I just finished a three-day fast on growing in the love of Jesus, growing in mercy and growing in compassion. And this is one of the three sections of scriptures I meditated on, and I was like, man, I have a long way to go. But if you want to say, what is love that Jesus is talking about? This is it. This is what love looks like for other people. Some of you were at Kava last week with us after church. We do like once a month, we'll go grab some food. Some of you were there for this. But I walked in, and we had a big group of people, and I was like, oh, great, a four top, four seats there, and a two. I'm going to go put my stuff down. So I went to go put my, you know, my hat and my water bottle down. And right after I did that, this dude comes up to me, gets in my face like 4 inches away and says, that's my table. He like yells in my face and I'm like, what the heck? Inside. And I'm like, first thing is like, this is a test. Don't react, love this guy. And I just said, I didn't see anything there. Do you have anything there? He's like, no, my kids were there and his kids ran outside. He went and yelled at his kids. He yelled at his wife. And I was just like, the best thing you could do to love this guy is just walk away right now. I just like stepped away and I just got back in line. But in my fast, I reflected on it. This is what I should, if I would have done, had another thought to go back, I would have said, dude, something I like about you is you have a great beard. I'm serious, because if you use verbal judo, which is it's like a way of communicating, it would have thrown him off and been like, yeah, dude, I think you have a great beard and I can tell like you work hard at it. And like, I know you're having a rough day because I have those too. Can I give you a hug or can I pray for you? And like, let him choose. I was so thrown off in the moment. I was like, don't react to this guy because he got in my face and yelled at me. But later, like, I watched him interact with other people. Dude, he was just having a rough day. But you know what he needed was love. And the best thing I could do in that moment to love him was I could just walk away, right? And so God's going to send us these people. It even happened yesterday again. For me, it's like God is sending these really abrasive people in my life, like random strangers to do crazy abrasive things to me. And God is just chipping away at my heart and chipping away this mess that is anti-love and teaching me to love people through these really abrasive people. So next week, you'd be like, hey, who is the abrasive person or people that God sent to you this past week? I'll probably have a story or two. So this is love. It's sacrifice of yourself. It's death to yourself to live God's will. And it's healthy sacrifice to avoid burnout, right? Because if you get burned out, you don't have anything to love. If you're burned out, you're not connected to the vine. You remain in Jesus' love by being obedient to him, and that's how you remain in the vine, to have the ability to love other people. It's how you avoid burnout. So God, love God's way is to sacrifice yourself for others. So let's check out verses 14 through 17. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in slaves. Now you're my friends since I told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, or using my name. This is my command. Love each other. How many of y'all want to be a friend of Jesus? So if you think about the concentric circles of his life, he had the crowd, right? The hundreds or thousands of people. Then he had the 70. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 3. Then he had the 1. Man, I want to go. I feel like I'm kind of in the 70, making my way into the 12, the 3. I want to be the 1. I'm the one that just gets right with Jesus face to face as his friend. You know what the scriptures say how you do that? Obedience. The deeper we go in obedience to Jesus, what he says to do, the stronger our friendship with him will grow. And with more clarity, we'll hear his voice. Because he says he confides in his friends. We were talking about this in our group over here. Anthony had a great insight. He said that there are two people in Scripture that were called God's friend, Old Testament. It was Abraham and Moses. And God spoke with Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. So you can have that type of friendship with God face to face. Over the years, my ability to hear God's voice with like pristine clarity has grown as I've grown in my relationship with him and that friendship with him. And it's because I begin to sacrifice more and more to be obedient to him. So when Jesus says, hey, what's more important? He's usually not asking a question. He's making a statement, right? If he asks you that. Because he's wanting you to choose what's more important. He's wanting to choose obedience to him. And the more you walk in obedience to him and you sacrifice yourself and you die to yourself, I can tell you that process is so painful. Like, it hurts to die to yourself, to put yourself on the altar and to not let the knife stop. Remember Abraham, he was told, stop, right? I see you're willing to sacrifice it. But sometimes when that knife is coming down, God will not tell you to stop. He He will say, sacrifice it, right? And you've got to let the knife fall, because that's obedience to him. And it'll show Jesus that you love him more than you love whatever that other thing was that was in your life. And y'all know this, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Part of making disciples after baptism and with baptism is to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So really, we are to teach others, to train others who follow Jesus to be obedient to him, to obey all the commands we find in the Word of God. So you move from a slave to a friend by being obedient to Jesus because we love him. This is all about your identity. This is all about your identity. Because right now, if you believe in Jesus, you're a son of the Heavenly Father. You're a daughter of the Heavenly Father. That's amazing. That means you can come to him at any time, any point into his presence. So my kids, they come to me all the time. Like when I'm in prayer, when I'm doing things, I'm busy. And they, because they know they can come. They can come to their daddy, right? In the same way, you can go to your Heavenly Father. You can go to your Heavenly Dad at any time. And he's going to receive you. He's going to accept you. Because you're coming through Jesus, what he did for you. How God views you as a friend is how God wants you to view yourself. So for some of us in our journeys where we're getting healed and made whole, there's shame, there's condemnation, there's these things that hold us back. Oh, I'm not worthy to come into God's presence. I can't come to God because I didn't do this, or I'm not good enough. Those are all lies of the enemy that's rooted in identity that's a slave. But when you understand your identity as a daughter, as a son, you're coming through Jesus and you can come right to the Father. And here's the thing, he already knows all your mess. Like, he knows all your past. He knows all the stuff in your heart. He knows what's going on in your circumstances. He knows it all. He just wants you to come and be with him as a son or a daughter and sit at his feet and get his embrace. Because if you watch this, there's some really good dads over here. If like you look at Richie back here with his newborn. Like, everyone, look real quick. That is a picture of the Heavenly Father for you. He holds you like a little kid, and he loves you. And that's how he views you, and he wants you to know that. So you move as a slave from an outsider to a friend as an insider, and you become Jesus' confidant. How many of y'all want Jesus to speak to you with more clarity and hear his voice more and more in your life? Like, I believe you can come to a point, and I'm going after it. Like, just as I'm speaking to you and you hear my voice, we can hear Jesus' voice in our life. Man, that's friendship. Because, you know, even in your life, right, even at work or whatever your context is with family or friends, there's people who are closer to you than others. My guess is your friendship with them is stronger the closer they are, the more trust you have with them. And this is important. Really catch this. Jesus wants to know he can trust you. Because if he can trust you, he can bring you closer and give you things that are more important to him, that take more care and more intentionality when he trusts you more. Because he doesn't want to give you something he values a lot and then you just like throw it on the ground and waste it or throw it away. He wants to know that you can be trusted. So his trust in you grows through your obedience over time. So he's going to give you little things to be obedient to. And then as he increases your influence, your impact for the kingdom and the gospel, he's going to give you more and greater things that you'll be faithful with because he knows he can trust you. Isn't this cool? Jesus chose you. Like, Jesus chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He came after you. How many of you were the kid growing up, kickball that never got picked? Anyone? Some of us, right? Like, that was the one that nobody wanted or choose your sport. Maybe it was football or basketball, or maybe it was like the friend group or whatever. We all know what it's like not to be picked. I know there's some super cool people here. I won't call them out or anything. But we've all been there. And Jesus says, I choose you. Come be with me. You're my friend. We were playing basketball the other night. There's this little guy. He's like 7 years old. His name's Vinny. He was coming on the basketball court. And he didn't make the first game, full court game, you know, 5-on-5. They're all like big dudes like me and JR. JR's really good at basketball, by the way. He's like Kobe, but Filipino. And Vinny, some people told him, and I told him too. I said, hey, bro, next game, we'll get you in. You know what happened? Next game, he came over. Hey, guys, can I play? We already had 5-on-5. You know what I thought? I actually felt this in my heart. I was like, we gave him our word he would play. And Jesus chooses him right now. So I said, Vinny, you're in for me. I said, Vinny, come in. I went and took a seat. My guess was some people on the team were like, what the heck, you letting this 7-year-old play? Like, other team, like, this isn't going to be hard anymore, competitive. But you know what? I think it was more important that he got chose to come on the basketball court to show, hey, you're important, you're loved, you're valued, come and play. And I took a seat. Here's the thing, you're all Vinny. Right? At some point, you weren't wanted. But Jesus says to you, I chose you. I choose you. Come and be on the court with me. Be on my team. You're my friend. So Jesus, he literally handpicks you. And he loves you. And he handpicks you for a purpose. He chooses you for a purpose. He appoints you to go and to bear lasting fruit. So all this is about is remaining in the vine, remaining in Jesus' love through obedience so that he can actually work through your life. Did you know we can actually stop Jesus from working through our lives through disobedience? Cuts us off from the vine. But if we walk in obedience, we're hearing his voice, we're going to be doing exactly what he wants us to do with our lives. And know it's going to look different for different people because we got different life contexts here, right? So we got people in the film industry. We got stay-at-home moms, right? We got people working side gigs. We got students. We got people doing music. We got people working on cars. We got people, you know, in administration. We have all these people in different fields and in teachers. So it's going to look different for each person to produce that lasting fruit. But at the core of this, it's going to be the same. It's going to be, how do you love that other person? How do you love other people? Do you notice that it says the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name? If we look at the scripture from last week, we talked about, it talks about how the Word, get the Word in you, and whatever you ask will be given to you. And now it says ask in the name of Jesus. So when you pray, you need to ask in Jesus' name, because if you ask the Heavenly Father for something in your own name, you know what that's going to get you? It's going to get you nothing. Because you got mess in your life, you got sin, and we could only go to the Father through Jesus, through his death on the cross, through his shed blood. And when we ask through his name, it's through Jesus, right? And so when we ask for things, it's going to align with his will and his nature and his heart. And so when you're asking for things, the will of God is going to be in you. So you're actually going to be asking according to the will of God. Now, I know all of us here have asked for selfish things along the way, right? And my guess is some of those prayers didn't get answered. Sometimes God will answer those because he loves us. He wants to give us good gifts. We want to align our prayers with the heart of the Father, with the will of the Father. And this all leads to love each other. I told y'all in this past couple weeks, Father's been really pruning my heart. And he showed me a ton of unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, like all this mess I had in my heart. And that's why I humbled myself for those 3 days in the fast. I said, clean me up. Man, I got so much mess in me. Like, get this out. So I did a whole another layer of forgiveness. You know what's been so interesting in this season? And this is real life, you guys. Hear this out. As I've been forgiving these people, there's no way this could be arranged except by the hand of God. These people are crossing my path. I haven't seen them for a long time. But they are showing up at the most random places when I'm there. And you know what God is doing? He's testing my heart. Will you love these people or are you going to still hate them? Oh, man. So it's crazy. As I've been forgiving individual people, they're individually showing up in my life. And I'm making hard choices to love that person, to reconcile and to restore, to love on the person. Even though they still treat me like trash in that instant, I still love them and I don't take it personally. I let it go. So we all have a choice. Are we going to love? The 1 Corinthians 13, we talked about what is love, right? And if you don't love, you're hating. There's no other option. If you don't love someone like 1 Corinthians 13, you hate them. And you don't like them. So obedience is Jesus' love language. And when we choose to love other people, especially our enemies or those that hate us, remember Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know what that is right there? That's an obedience command. So if you're not loving those who hate you or people you just don't like because their personality style rubs you wrong or like, I don't know, you just don't like them for whatever reason. If you don't love them, you're actually hating them and you're disobedient to Jesus and you're getting disconnected from the vine. So I know it's so hard, but it's loving people that are so hard to love and you can only do it through Jesus. Like the person that comes in your face and yells at you, you're like, what the heck, bro? Like I was just getting a table where there was nothing there, right? Or the person you forgave couple of days before and they show up on your path and you have to make a choice in that instance. Am I going to reconcile with this person and love on them even though they never asked forgiveness and burned you so hard and almost destroyed a bunch of stuff? Like, what's the choice? And Jesus says, choose love. So I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question because I don't want you to answer it right away. I want you to really think about it. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? You'll know if you love him if you're obedient to him. And I've had to do some hard reflection these couple weeks of him saying, actually, you have all these areas where you don't have love. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to go through this. So prune me, right? I still remain in the vine because as the Father prunes, so you'll be more fruitful. It means you're in the vine if he's pruning you. So if you're going through a season right now where you feel like God is pruning you, he's cutting stuff out of your life, or he's cutting things off of your personality, or he's cutting these things up, and you're like, this is so painful, it's because he loves you. Hebrews 12 says he disciplines the daughter and the son that he loves. So he's doing it because he loves you, and he's saying, will you submit to me? Will you be obedient to me? In Hebrews, it says this as we come to a close, and this is one of the craziest verses I've come across. Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. So Jesus actually became obedient to Father through what he suffered. So as you're suffering, and you're like, oh, this is hard. Culture says, get away from suffering as quick as you can. Take the pill, drink that, go do this, whatever it is, escape suffering. The kingdom of God, the cross says, embrace the suffering. That's Jesus's way. He says, take the suffering because the suffering will transform you. On the other side, you're going to have the presence of God. You're going to have God's love and you're going to be transformed. So I want to ask you this question for an activation. This will be your obedience for the week. You know how we always say, write down how you're going to be obedient this week. I'm going to invite you into this question because I never ask you guys to do anything God hasn't done on me. Like, so this is hard, but I'm going to invite you to do it. Ask Jesus to show you someone you hate, the opposite of love, and how you can love that person this week. So who is someone in your life that you don't like or does not like you for whatever reason? Write that person's name down and then say, Jesus, how do you want me to love that person? It could be someone from your past. It could be someone from your present, like right now stuff going on. And ask Jesus, like, show me how you want me to love this person. With some of these people, for me, it's been like I take time out of my schedule to meet with them as they transition, right? To me, I'm like, I don't want to, you've been gone for like over 6 months. Like, why don't I want to waste my time like meeting with you? Jesus said, Jared, that's not my heart. My heart is love. Take the time to meet with them because this is about restoration and reconciliation. So ask Jesus for you. Show him, Jesus, who do I hate? Who don't I have love towards? And how this week do you want me to love this person? So go ahead and write that down. My sense for some of you is that this will actually lead to your breakthrough moment. For some of you, there's someone that if you choose to love them, it's actually going to bring a breakthrough for you. For some of you, I think it's just part of the obedience process and growing, but for some of you, I feel like there might be a breakthrough. So I'm going to encourage you this too. After you've written it down, share that with the person next to you as much as you want. You could just say, hey, there's this person in my life. You can name them if you want, or just say like how you know them. And then share how you're going to love that person this week. Because when you share it, it reinforces that you'll follow through and it reinforces that commitment. So share with that person who it is and how you're going to love that person. Well, thank y'all for engaging in that with Jesus. I know it's that's some hard work. I know for some it's going to be harder than others, right? Just depending on your life context and circumstance. I'm going to just encourage you to step into it and love people this week. Because Jesus says, he sums it up at the end. He says, love each other. Love one another. And when you love those people who are difficult, man, it shows Jesus your love because you're being obedient to him. And if it's hard, just literally get on your knees before him and say, Jesus, this is so hard. Will you help me do it? And he'll give you the grace to do it. So let me pray over us as we finish our time together. So Jesus, we're so grateful. Thanks that we can gather in your name. Thanks, Jesus, that we can worship you here at the park. Spirit and truth, thanks for your word. Thanks, Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation and an understanding of your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you open our minds to understand the scriptures. So would you get your word deep in our hearts, Jesus, to radically transform us with your love? And Jesus, I pray for those that have never had an encounter with your love where relationship with you has become real. I pray, Jesus, that you would arrange that encounter with them. So I just declare the love of Jesus being released over your life in an encounter that'll change you forever. That the presence of God would come upon you. And that you'd be changed in an instant. That you would know him. You would know his heart, his love for you. So Jesus, thank you that you're going ahead of us. Thank you that you want us to produce fruit this week and that long-lasting big harvest of fruit. So Jesus, would you give us the grace to remain in you, to remain connected to you, remain in the vine, that we'd receive everything that we need to live that life that you've designed for us, the abundant life, where we see other people impacted for the gospel and for your kingdom, more people coming to know you, getting baptized and getting discipled, that we teach them to obey everything you've commanded us in your word. So Holy Spirit, would you fill everyone here, giving us power to follow Jesus this week? Jesus, we pray for the divine appointments you have for this week, those that you want us to love on, encourage, and connect with. Jesus, I pray for the names that got written down that were shared. Would you prepare the hearts of those people that are going to be loved on probably from someone that they feel like they don't like very much or their enemy? But Jesus, I pray from this that you'd bring healing, reconciliation, and restoration of relationships as much as is able in these circumstances, with the kingdom of heaven come to earth. Father, I ask your protection over everybody here and over all their families. Father, that you would cover them with your wings, that they'd rest in your shadow. Thank you, Jesus, that everyone here is under your blood, that we're protected by you. And thank you for your angels you assigned to your lives for your kingdom and gospel purposes. So Jesus, we commit ourselves to you, forming us an obedient heart and a loyal spirit to you, that we would love you with our whole life and love others, Jesus, as you've loved us. We pray and ask this in your name. Amen.